Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message.
I am reading from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, a very familiar verse of scripture, I'm sure, to all of you that know anything about this being Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is called Palm Sunday because it happened 1 week prior to the crucifixion, actually to the resurrection, and Jesus came triumphantly into Jerusalem, and he was, as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, they laid their coats down, they laid anything down, and when they couldn't find anything else, they took palm branches and laid those down. That's where this term Palm Sunday comes from. But I'm reading the prophecy of this found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, that says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you." And I want you to know today, whether you are in this building or you are watching this online, that if it is not today, there is a day coming when your king is going to come to you. He is coming, and he is coming into your life. Your king is coming to you, and he is just having salvation. Oh, I want to finish the scripture, but I just got to throw this out. Do you mind? He doesn't always have what you want him to have for you. Sometimes the thing you think you want, he shows up and does not have that. But he does have your salvation. Can you say amen? And when it comes right down to it, at the end of it all, at the end of life, is it really going to matter if you got everything you wanted or that you got salvation? What will matter on that day? My friend, if you've got salvation, be thankful and rejoice. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. He is just and having salvation, lowly riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I want to preach to you today this message that I've simply entitled, "Behold Your Lowly King." Your lowly king. Let's just pray real quick. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will anoint my mind, my lips, my tongue, my heart, my understanding, along with all of us here today, our understanding, that you could speak to us, Lord, your will, your way, this burden you've placed on my soul to preach these words today. Touch us and help us to be more like you, drawn closer to you when we leave this place than when we came in. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Everyone said amen. Can we give Jesus one more hand clap together? It just sounds so good. Feels so good. Praise God. If you understand a little about the time that Jesus came to this world in, especially where Israel is concerned, you'll understand that Israel really was looking for deliverance from the Roman Empire. They were expecting their king to come and bring them a physical deliverance. I just want you to know today that Jesus did not come his first time to bring a physical deliverance. He came to bring a spiritual deliverance. He is coming again, and he will bring a physical deliverance with him at his second coming. But his first coming was to bring a spiritual deliverance to us, and the people wanted the physical. We are so much like that in our mindset and in our world and in our thinking. We want God to take care of all of our physical problems, and we want them taken care of now. But what Jesus came to do, and the first thing that Jesus wants to do in every one of your lives is he wants to defeat the enemy of sin in your life. He wants to defeat the enemy of death in your life. And he wants to defeat the devil that has ensnared every man and every woman since Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us, and it is clearly true, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus came to deliver from that. And if you wonder why in life, and I have seen this over and over again in my ministry, people come to God, they are looking for God to straighten out their problems, to fix their issues, to solve all of the things that are wrong in their world, and they come to God looking for God to do those very things. And what happens is it doesn't happen the way they planned or the way that they think should be. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work out the way they thought it should have. And if you ever wonder why things don't get straightened out in your life the way you thought God was going to straighten them out, when you committed yourself to start coming to church and you committed yourself to baptism and God even filled you with the Spirit and you've committed yourself to doing the things of the Spirit and to pray and to seek God and to try to put Him first, if you ever wonder why things don't seem to get straightened out, it is simply because of this. He didn't come to straighten out this world. He came the first time to straighten out your world. Did you hear me? He didn't come to straighten out the world around you. He came to straighten out the world within you. And people can't seem to wrap their mind around that the first thing God wants to do is fix in here before He fixes anything out here. And when God doesn't fix everything out here, they're off looking for the next thing that they hope will be able to do it for them. God wants to fix your heart. God wants to fix your mind, and God wants to fix your soul. Yes. Hallelujah. I have been pastoring for a number of years, and I've seen it over and over again, and there's nothing more discouraging to the First Lady, Mama Frank, and I than to see people come in looking for God to fix their problems. He does not do it in their set time frame, and off they are looking for something else to take care of that problem. Jesus Christ came to fix your world, not the world around you. He came to fix your heart, your mind, your soul. The important thing to understand is this. Jesus came riding into Jerusalem. We are celebrating that day today on the back of a donkey. And as He came, they laid palm branches down. I've already explained this. It's why we call it Palm Sunday. They laid their coats down. They laid all of these things down, and they worshiped Him, and they praised Him, and the religious leaders were angry that He was allowing them to praise Him like this, and they told Him to tell them to stop. And He said, I cannot tell them to stop, because if they stop, the very stones will cry out. And we sing that beautiful song, Before the Rocks Cry Out, Just Gotta Praise Him. I think there's another song, something about, no, ain't no rock gonna take my place. And I'll tell you why He said that. He said that because the Bible told us in Zechariah to rejoice greatly. And in Psalm 22, verse 3, it says of Him, you are holy, and you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our praise is His throne. And we make a terrible mistake when we need a king and we pray for a king, but we don't give Him a throne in our life to sit on. Huh? We don't give Him a throne to sit on. I have said many times over the course of my ministry, and I pray it is still true, that you will never, ever be able to tell what kind of day, week, or month, or sometimes the year, how bad it is by the way I act in church. I pray that when you look at me in church, you think there's just never anything wrong in that guy's life. He is always so happy and smiling and worshiping with such enthusiasm. Man, I want that kind of life. What does he do to get that kind of life? I'm here to tell you something. My life ain't any different than yours. I got more problems I know what to do with. I've got more trouble. I've got troubles that burden me, that weigh me down. I've got problems that drive me to my knees seeking God to help me. And how is this going to work out? And how is this going to take place? But there is one thing that I make sure I always do. The worse it gets, the more I need a king. And the more I need a king, the more my king needs a throne to sit on. And so I will praise him with enthusiasm when I am discouraged. And I will praise him with enthusiasm when I am troubled. And I will praise him with enthusiasm when my world is upside down, because I need a king. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the living God. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. You are enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now, isn't it funny how they told Jesus to have them stop, and Jesus said, I can't, because if I do, the very rocks will cry out. It's because Jesus was not riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, spiritually. Spiritually, he was riding into Jerusalem on the praises of the people. That's what he was doing. Riding in on the praises of the people. And I fear that too often in this generation, we're looking for the same thing that people looked for in the first century. And that is a king that will bring them their victory right here, right now. Here's the one, shouting praises. Think about this, my friend. On Sunday, shouting, I'm just going by historical time frames here, so forgive me. Shouting praises, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And 1 week later, crying out, crucify him. Now those words may seem harsh, but I have seen people use those words in their spirit. What do I mean by that? I have seen people come into church. You see, the problem was they were under the bondage of Roman rule. They wanted Roman rule gone. They wanted God's rule. They wanted to be the nation they once were. And they thought Jesus was going to do that for them. And as long as they thought he was going to do that, they were willing to cry out, Hosanna in the highest. But now a week had gone by, and he hadn't done it. And the same people crying out, Hosanna in the highest, were now in the crowds crying out, crucify him. Now those sound like harsh words, don't they? But do you realize that every time a person comes to God looking for God to straighten out his life, they are walking in here saying, Hosanna in the highest, and when they decide he's not my answer, I'm going to go someplace else, they are crying out, crucify him. He didn't answer my problems fast enough. He didn't take care of my situation quick enough. He didn't do it in my time frame. Crucify him. I'm off to the next thing, looking for somebody to deliver me from my problems right now. I'm here to tell you, I'll take my problems with Jesus any day over no problems without him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Though I walk through the fire, I will not be burned. I'll take Jesus with my troubles any day over no troubles without him. Can someone say amen? Amen. Now, in my years of ministry, and I regret to have to say this, I have seen this over and over again. People come in to get God to fix their problems, and when he didn't do it quick enough, they get discouraged and they leave. Don't do that. Don't be that. Understand that the king that we need in our lives is the one that's coming a second time. And between that first coming of your original meeting him and the second coming when he fulfills all of your answers and brings you to heaven with him, there's going to be some problems. Huh? There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some emotion between today and Easter. There's going to be some problems. It's going to be some dark days. It's going to be some unexplained days. When the very answer you thought was going to fulfill your needs is hanging on a cross. When the very one you thought was going to fulfill all your problems is at the mercy of the world. And the world is beating him. And the same crowd that was one day praising him is now saying, "Crucify him." What happened? He didn't answer their question, their problems fast enough. Not me. Lord, I don't know if my voice can be heard, but in the midst of this world that has turned its back on you, let me be heard saying, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Among the crowds, among the noise, among the clamoring of this world, let my voice be heard still saying, "Hosanna in the highest." Among the ones that are hollering out, "Crucify him." Can you hear my soul, lone voice crying, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And I don't know where churches are going, and I don't know where people are going, but let Maranatha's voice be heard. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. So I'm going to wrap this up. Don't let God's timing, which is always different than yours. Do you ever have something really good for maybe a child or a friend? Really good. They don't know you have it. You know you have it. And you're not giving it to them right yet. Maybe it's a Christmas present, birthday present. You know you have it. You're almost excited about, can't wait to give it to them. They're discouraged because they think they're getting nothing. And you're watching them discouraged because they think they're getting nothing. You're thinking, "Oh, just hang on." I think that's what Jesus is doing. You don't know the gift of God that I have for you. You don't know the answer to your prayers that's just over the next hill. You don't know that while they're pounding nails into my hands, just 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. Trust me. Have faith in me. Stick with me. Don't join the crowds. I've seen this story played out over and over and over again with people coming to look for God to fix a circumstance. And right when they think they found him, the next thing you know, he's being crucified. And they're off looking for somebody that's not going to be crucified, not understanding that it is the crucifixion that fixes your real problem. It is the crucifixion that fixes your real problem. So don't let God's timing, which is almost always, now let me change that. It is always different than your timing. Always. He doesn't care what you think. I'll get to it when I get to it. Because I'm going to get to it at the right time. If I get to it in your time, you'll ruin it. You won't appreciate it if I give it to you in your timing. Don't let God's apparent weakness. I know he's adorable, but just stay focused on me for another minute. Praise God. Incidentally, Ritzy's got a new sister. No, Shoshana is not pregnant. He was over to Christine's house. Christine, God bless you. And she was just playing with him and helping him. And he looked at his mom. He goes, Mom, I want Christine to be my sister. And then she told me a heart-rending story that he said to her. He looked at her. He had to have his diaper changed. And his mom took him in the room to change his diaper. And he looked at Christine. And he said, when you were little, did your mama take care of you? And she said, oh, yes, she did. Yes, she did. And now I have a heavenly father still taking care of me. Still taking care of me. Let me wrap this up by saying this. In his apparent weakness, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, only to be scourged and beaten. Don't walk away. Don't turn tail and run. Don't look for a greater answer, someone that won't subject themselves to that. Because if he didn't subject himself to that, you would be subjected to eternity in hell. You see, so he saved you from a bigger issue than your little problem of your world today. He saw the bigger picture. He didn't just see your trouble in this year or this decade. He saw your trouble in eternity. And he said, listen to me, just trust me. There's a bigger issue at play than what you think you need right now. I see the bigger issue. I'm going to take care of this bigger issue. Just follow me and trust me, because it's all going to work out. But you got to let me handle the bigger issue first. Let Jesus handle the bigger issues first. Trust him, no matter how it looks. While he's riding on a donkey, people crying out, Hosanna. Next week, they're crying out, crucify him. Keep following him. When they're nailing, putting nails through his hands and his feet, keep following him. When they put him in a tomb, keep following him. Go to the tomb on the third day. You'll see a risen king who can fix everything and anything. But let him take care of the serious issues first. Hallelujah. 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 And so on this Palm Sunday, as we rejoice in the presence of God, having felt his spirit, having felt his glory, remember this. Life, and I don't mean to preach discouragement, but life can possibly go downhill from here. But though he lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I will trust him. Can you say amen? Don't let Palm Sunday to Good Friday throw you. Hang on till Easter. Let's stand together and clap our hands for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York, and if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.